It will be a strange way to mark 50 years, but on this anniversary of Earth Day, Mother Earth gets a break from our footprints, as across the globe, people are isolated and places are off limits. Blue Planet Foundation's Hank Rogers is hunkered down on his off-the-grid ranch on the Big Island. He wears several hats as head of a green energy company and head of a nonprofit with high goals for protecting our environment. Rogers talked with us about resilience and innovation as we hit this milestone of honoring the planet that we live on. Rogers knows one of the co-founders of Earth Day, Dennis Hayes, and he shares his thoughts about the future with us.
He came to my first Blue Planet Foundation conference and spoke. He's a brilliant guy. I think Earth Day is like a great thing that happened. I'm part of another organization called EarthX, and that's going on. That's Earth Day celebration in Dallas, Texas, and they're doing that virtually. So we've been doing videos. Last year, we had 120,000 people show up in Dallas. This year, it's going to be virtual. So it's very interesting to see how we do large numbers of people virtually. We are learning how to live life with a lower carbon footprint. Now, I'm not saying it should be as low as we are experiencing today because of COVID, but I don't think we should go back to flying and driving and doing things the way we used to. I think we have a new way of living, which is somewhere in between, which is going to fix climate change.
Well, it is interesting when you see the stories about how much pollution has dropped in cities like Beijing and in India.
Mumbai, yes. It's very much an eye-opener. Well, you know, China is moving ahead already by switching everybody to electric vehicles. All of the mopeds are now electric, cars are becoming electric, and buses and trucks are becoming electric. They're all becoming electric, and it's because of pollution. That is the future, and they're, again, one step ahead of us because they're doing it on a large scale, and we're just getting started.
So how are you looking at this momentous occasion, the 50 years, and then looking forward the next 50 years?
I'd like to spend the next 25 years solving climate change. I've set a target for myself and for my foundation of 100% renewable by 2045. I believe that we can fix everything by 2045.
Well, we're experiencing this strange time together as a planet. And as you said, as we've pulled back our footprint, it's really opening our eyes to see, you know, what's possible in the future.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at the last few months before this happened, I was flying around the world every 2 months, visiting people, conferences, all these different things. And now in the last 2 months, it's been zero. And now I'm doing all those things I used to do virtually by Zooming or FaceTiming with people. And I find out that I have more contact with different people because I've eliminated travel time.
I was just talking to Carl Kim over at the Pacific Disaster Preparedness Center. As we're in this crisis, you know, what happens if we get a natural disaster?
My company, Blue Planet Energy, which is a local company, we do battery storage. And we started this whole thing by taking my ranch off grid and then taking my home in Honolulu off grid. And then we started helping other people off grid. And now we have 25 people and we have 150 dealers across the country that are installing our batteries. Our biggest project to date has been working with the Red Cross in Puerto Rico. Some areas of Puerto Rico still don't have power. And this is because it takes forever to put these wires back on sticks. Electricity is basically transported by wires on sticks, which all fall down during a hurricane. So what happens when that happens here? What happened there was the places where people are supposed to go, the emergency shelters, which were schools, all failed because they had no power. No power means you don't have a kitchen. No power means you don't have light at night. No power means you have no communication. And so those are the three things that you need in a disaster. So the Red Cross went to Puerto Rico afterwards and said, we're going to retrofit all the schools in Puerto Rico with batteries and solar panels so that they will work in the case of an emergency. And in fact, that's what we did. We retrofit 114 schools to have batteries and solar panels. The panels are provided by the local solar company, so we don't do that business. All we do as a Hawaii company is provide them with the battery, the battery system. And this is what needs to happen here. Why should we wait till we've had a disaster? More people died after the disaster than during the disaster in Puerto Rico because they lost their medicine. You know, insulin doesn't last if you don't have refrigeration. If you don't have clean water, then there's all kinds of problems with that. And then the communication. communication. If you don't have a way to charge your phone, you can't call for help, or emergency workers can't coordinate with each other if there's no electricity. So this is something that needed to be solved, and it is now solved. And recently, there was an earthquake in Puerto Rico, and the emergency shelters worked. They had food, they had refrigeration, they had a place for people to stay, and they had a place for disaster relief people to coordinate things and report back to headquarters what's going on, so they could coordinate disaster relief efforts.
So during this time when we're thinking about public health and safety, and as we move into hurricane season, then we just need to really keep this kind of technology in the forefront as we honor Earth Day and figure out how we cope with climate change going forward.
If we're going to build anything, we should build things with resilience in mind. We should think, what happens if there is an earthquake? What happens if there is a power interruption? What happens? And we need to build infrastructure in a way that basically solves that.
That was Blue Planet Foundation's Hank Rogers talking to us about resiliency in this global crisis. His company just yesterday rolled out a new project using a battery system called Blue Ion LX. It was designed for large residences and industrial projects, boosting battery capacity from 16 kilowatt hour storage to 64 kilowatts. And as we mark Earth Day, we also talked with a Hawaii filmmaker about a series of documentaries that will begin airing on television tonight. Anthony Alto is a producer with Green Island Films. He sits on the board of the Sierra Club. He talked about the debut of a three-part series called Climate for Change. The first film, which is being broadcast tonight on KHNL, is entitled The New Normal.
What we were telling people is that now is the time for us to change our lifestyles, to change the basis of our economy, and the moment is right. And we thought that when we first started working on the series more than 2 years ago, and I feel it even more starkly now as a result of the pandemic we're in the midst of. What we're living through now is exactly the kind of thing that the scientists have been warning us would be the consequences of climate change. If you look at the research paper that was put out by Professor Camilo Mora from UH Manoa in 2018, they look at the impacts of climate change by the year 2100 if we just continue with business as normal. And they found that in some places around the world, we could be dealing with simultaneous climate change disasters. So imagine us, the situation that we're in right now in Hawaii, under this pandemic lockdown. We're in April. In April 2018, the state was hit by the biggest rain bomb ever recorded in the United States, the most rain ever to fall in a 24-hour period anywhere in the United States. And those things, those rain bombs are becoming more and more frequent. Imagine here we are in April. Imagine we have one of those right now over Manoa or Palolo. It would flood the entire Alawai Basin and Waikiki. We would have to rescue thousands of people. How do we do that with masks and practicing social distancing? You know, pandemic are exactly the sort of things that the scientists have been warning about. We've had hundreds of new infectious diseases appear in the last few decades. So even though you can't point COVID-19 and specifically say that's the result of climate change, you can look at it and say, oh my God, this is a warning. This shows us what the future looks like. This is a dress rehearsal for a horror show of simultaneous catastrophes that we will be suffering from unless this time we actually pay attention to the scientists. You know, there are two objectives with this film series. The first is to convince people here in Hawaii that this is a problem that impacts us now, today. Climate change is not a crisis for the future. It's not just a crisis for our kids or our grandkids. It's happening to us today. So the film actually starts by profiling a family on the North Shore of Kauai who had to cope with the flood in 2018, but whose lives have been transformed since then because the weather has changed, the climate has changed. That family has lived in that location for 14 generations. They used to be the konohiki for the Waineha River and the Hanalei River. So they know these rivers better than anybody. And, you know, they said, you know, we used to know it would rain for 3 days and we'd say, yeah, it might flood tomorrow. Now it rains for 3 hours and it's flooding already. And they just do not recognize this reality, and they are living with climate change. There is no question about it. So that's, if you like, on the warning side, getting people to pay attention to a problem that's real and that's happening now. But the majority of the series is actually intended to try to inspire people, to give them hope, to get them to become engaged by showing them that we still have time to fix this problem. And that's the silver lining in this pandemic, right? It has shown all kinds of remarkable things that are uplifting. I mean, it is, well, for obviously for a startup, it's shown us our common humanity. But beyond that, it's shown the capacity for sacrifice. I mean, in essence, half the world is shut down and sheltering in place in order to protect a small number of us. But we all realize that we're all part of this community and we have to do it. So we're making that sacrifice. And we're also seeing as a result of this pandemic, the capacity that we have to take bold action in the face of a true emergency. It's remarkable how many people have just given up their livelihoods, given up their way of life because of this crisis. Perhaps they didn't do it, you know, willingly, but they have done it with remarkably little protest. Across the world, people have joined in this sort of communal effort to fight this pandemic. And so that all of that gives me hope that we do have the capacity to turn around and fix the climate problem, especially because the level of sacrifice that we're talking about is nowhere near the kind of sacrifice that we're all enduring at the moment because of this pandemic. If we start planning now and create a rational, deliberate plan to cover the next 2 decades, we can march very easily into a future where we build a kind of a Green New Deal, where we distribute prosperity more equitably, but most importantly, we will be able to transform our society into something more sustainable. I realize now that when you asked about the film, I focus first on showing what people what the problem is. I didn't go on to the inspirational bit, which, as I said earlier, is the main thrust of the series, is to get people inspired. Camilla Mora is a scientist who now has international renown. His research papers have been picked up all across the world. The one I just mentioned earlier was picked up by the New York Times and Le Monde and the BBC. So he has decided that he single-handedly is going to try to strong-arm the state of Hawaii into planting 1 million trees a year for the next 40 years. And if we were to do that, we would largely mitigate our entire carbon footprint. So it would be an extraordinary example to the rest of the world. And at the same time, we know that there is room on the planet to plant over 1 trillion trees without touching any land that is currently urbanized or any land that's currently farmed. And if we were to plant that many trees, we would actually be mitigating a significant fraction of all the greenhouse gases emitted since the start of the Industrial Revolution. So planting trees is an extremely strong tool. And so Camilla Mora is doing great work in showing people the power of that tool. Obviously, on its own, it's not enough. All it does is it buys us some time. It buys us the time to shift our economy, to spend the next 10 years doing everything we have to do to shift our economy from a fossil fuel-based economy to an economy built on renewable fuels. To my mind, the only way we can redeem ourselves, we can give some meaning to the tens of thousands of people who are losing their lives through this pandemic, is if we learn the lessons from this catastrophe. And the lesson from this catastrophe is that we are unprepared and we are not doing enough to prepare for the sorts of disasters that climate change is going to throw our way. But we now have a new sense of communal spirit, if you like. Let's use that. Let's leverage that to take the actions that we need to take.
That was Anthony Aalto, producer of The New Normal, a show that airs at 8 p.m. on KHNL tonight. It's a first of a three-part series. For links to the programming schedule, head to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.